Please turn with me, if you will, as we, finish out the series that we've had in the book of Proverbs. We'll be looking this morning at Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. Last week we talked about a woman who fears the Lord, and we talked about King Lemuel's mother and the oracle which she received and how concerned she was that her husband, her son would be a man who fears the Lord. And she specifically spoke about a couple of items that were extremely important to not only be a man who fears the Lord, but to project that image, to reflect that image to the rest of the world. And so this morning we're going to look at another woman who fears the Lord. So again, as I said, please turn to Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. You know, women are not always looked at favorably in this culture. We are grateful that we have the Word of God to continue to remind us of what God's design is. Because in our culture, we have a media that is completely confusing to women. On one hand, we have all of these commercials that talk about how you can look better, be smarter, and all those things, and telling you essentially that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not young enough. But if you do all these things that we have for you, you can be. On the other hand, we have the media telling us we don't even know what a woman is anymore. So we have this constant confusion in this culture generated by politically correct, muddle-headed people that just, for some reason, want to make money off of all of this and decided this is the best way to do it. But we have a scripture that clearly defines womanhood. We have a scripture that continues to remind us that there's no question, there's no confusion as to what God expects of his people, whether it's male or female, specifically women in this particular case. The Bible is different than our culture. Imagine that. King Lemuel's mother is different than the average woman as well. She's obviously a woman who fears the Lord, and she sought to help her son fix his eyes on the Lord himself, not on the frivolities of the day. If he's going to be a leader, he has to focus on that which is most important. And remember, she three times called him my son, not just because she loved him, but because she was putting her authority out there, clearly her authority, to be the one that could speak these things into his life. And so it's important that we recognize how God uses this testimony, this oracle of this godly woman, to teach his son, to teach us as well what to look for in a woman who fears the Lord by God's design. This mother tells us clearly, as we'll see in this passage, that this woman, this wife, is what enables her husband, her family, and the poor and needy to flourish because she's a woman who fears the Lord. So read with me Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. An excellent wife who can find. She's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchants. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff. Her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Pray with me. Father, this morning as we look at your word, we see how you expect for us to live in a world that's looking at us. This is not just the desire of a mother for her son. This is an oracle that came from you to her, to him, to us. This is your word. We praise you for it and pray that you would use it accordingly in our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said before, everything around us tells us that biblical womanhood is under attack. You know, Roe v. Wade was turned over, but over 50% of our people still want some form of abortion, so children and childbearing is under attack. Marriage is under attack. How many different ways do we have in our culture to define marriage nowadays? And the woman's part in marriage. Supposedly smart people are unwilling to define a woman's, which tells us all in and of itself that women are under attack. But Lemuel's mother is given a picture of a woman that she expects her son to find as a wife. A picture of the woman that she knows he will have to work at to find. This woman is rare. But because we have this image of a woman, we know that she exists, which means there's multiple women that exist. She may be rare, but she is there for Lemuel. Now, what lies before us is in this familiar text is what's been said by many is the A to Z of characteristics that are expected of a woman who fears the Lord. And I know many of you have already said this when you've read this before. Before you say that you don't measure up to this characteristic, stop. That's like saying, well, it's not my fault, I'm not perfect. Well, no duh, you're not perfect. You can't measure up to these particular standards because that this mother has done, what God has done to give to this mother are specific, she's highlighting specific characteristics that define the role of a woman who fear the Lord. Many of you have said, how could she do all that in one day? When we're talking about multiple women, each one has a gift. Each one can do that. But this is the look. This is what we as men are to be looking for, godly men, to be sure, but especially her son. And from where I stand, we have a ton of Proverbs 31 women in this church, and I'm thankful for them. Because y'all have encouraged me and encouraged my family through the years, and I'm thankful for that. This list is the qualities that every woman should strive for, not just a married woman, but single women, widowed women, married with children and married without children. Every Christian woman is to strive in some way for these characteristics based on the gifts that God has given you so that you can reveal to the world around you, specifically perhaps if you're going to be married to the man that you'll marry, that you are a woman who fears the Lord. And that's, of course, the main goal of this. In verse 30, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She's making that point over and over again. So looking at this text, we begin to see that Lemuel's mother is very specific concerning the right kind of woman that she wants for her husband, or her son. And she doesn't hesitate to point that out. Remember, she pointed out last week the kind of woman she didn't want him to be with. But this time, an excellent woman who can find. An excellent wife who can find. She's far more precious than jewels. Lemuel is to search until he finds that excellent woman who fears the Lord in the same way that he would search for precious jewels. They're rare, but they're there. And when he finds her, let's consider some of the benefits. Verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land, so he can't help but say, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. And it's unfortunate the English doesn't put the second you in there because the Hebrew does. But the point is made. You pass them all. What is going on here? She makes her husband her first priority outside of her relationship to the Lord, which is foundational for everything that we see and will see in this text. It's her pure faith, her fear in the Lord, that enables her husband, because she is his helpmate. The Bible's defined what a helpmate before. It's not about just Proverbs 31. The Bible has defined that for us over and over again, what a biblical helpmate is. And she cares for her husband and places him first. This, of course, is the type of woman that she wants for her husband, for her son. I keep saying husband. Probably wanted it for her husband, too, especially if this is Solomon's wife. I mean, the kind of stuff that she had to put up with through the years. Anyway, oy vey. But this is the kind of wife she wants for her son, to be sure. A woman that will uphold him. A woman that will support him. A woman that will be his confidant. This word trust is crucial. For without trust, there is no benefit in a relationship. Without trust, everything comes and is confusing and questioning. In this culture, we are trust-stunted. We are stunted because people have hurt us in one of, I don't know, how many different ways. I've counseled people for a lot of years. We have no reason to trust anyone because of how we've been treated, whether it's been physical or sexual or emotional abuse, whether it's been you're a child of divorce or whether you have divorced. We have no reason to trust anyone. People have died when you were at a crucial time in your life. Then they don't come back. And you don't trust that people will always be with you. We are a trust-stunted culture. But according to Scripture, that's always been true. So the Lord says, you trust me. But he tells this mother for her son to find the woman that you can put absolute trust in. That way you will flourish. The one woman who, as your helpmate, is made to make you flourish. Even in his civil affairs, which is really a religious affair here as well, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders in the land because she enables him to be able to do that. She does all that the Lord calls for her to do so that he can do that. How she is trusted, how she lives out her faith, all of this enables him to do as he's required to do from the Lord because he is her first priority. She desires his success. She enables him to be and to do. So her husband can't do anything else but say, many women have done excellently, but you have surpassed them all, unless he's a fool. And there's a lot of us out there that are fools. this is placed in quotations. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. For at least four reasons in the Hebrew. One, this is what the husband says of his wife, just like any other thing that you would read. So we put it in quotations. But two, he's saying it out loud to everyone who's in his hearing, or in this case, everyone who will read this at some place before, making his point clear. Third, it goes and connects with Lemuel's mother's first statement, an excellent wife who could find. Well, this one surpasses them all. Many women have done excellently, but you've surpassed them all. But the fourth one, I think, is probably one that I believe is maybe the most important, especially when it comes to this factor of trust, so that their children would know the kind of respect that this husband has for his wife. These children would know how much he trusts his wife. This gives his girls, all girls, an example, and gives his sons a reason to listen to her because of the trust and respect that he shows. These are benefits. Benefits allowed, abound, flourishing life that this mother of King Lemuel wants for her son. Next, the bulk of the chapter declares all the stuff that she does, how she handles her household, verses 13 through 27. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant and brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants vineyards. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed in scarlet or heavy clothing. She makes bed coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and delivers sashes to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teachings of kindness is on her mouth, her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. There's so much here. It's like we said earlier. How is it she can cram all that into her day? But that's not the point. What's the main point that King Lemuel's mother is trying to make concerning this woman? The main point is how she cares for others. That's the main point. And not only how she cares for others, but this is how she flourishes in caring for others. Caring for one another causes everyone to flourish. Meeting the needs of someone else causes them to flourish. Nothing better, no better form of affirmation than to see the smile on somebody's heart or face. You get to perceive their heart. You want affirmation, you can't get better than that. There's a lot of things here that she understands. A lot of things here that she does for the good of others, for her family, for her hired help. As we see, she treats them just like family. The poor and the needy. When it talks about her hands going out to the needy, that is, she gives back sacrificially to them. She gives back to them, if you will, because she cares for others. She is fulfilled when others are fulfilled. That's the main point that King Lemuel's mother making about this by giving us all these details. Like I said, once again, you're not meant to do all these things. But how you care for each of those in their day-to-day is what's being focused on here. She does manage her household well, though, from a practical perspective. from working hard to provide, to making sure everyone has what they need in food and clothing from summer and winter. She makes deals that benefit both parties. She knows the product that she makes is excellent and profitable. She knows all of this, but her end game is to enable others to be fulfilled. So she works deals with the merchants to make sure both parties benefit. She does what she does for the good of others, thinking of others first. She considers all of those she's responsible for. She's a good shepherd with what God has given her, even ruling over her capacity. The New Testament says that she is to manage the household well. That's a commandment that God gives to women. And all along, it's also something else is obvious here. She didn't deal with second best. There's no second best here, because who's her primary target before all these people? Her primary target is the Lord. The scripture says, do all you do for the glory of God. That's her motivation. So she can't be second best. That's what makes her an excellent wife, one that surpasses them all. Lemuel's mother has at least one woman in mind, but the reality is, given the nature of how many highlights God has given her, we know that she has multiple women in mind. For a woman who manages her household well, as this woman does, who can find her? She's intelligent. She's strong in character. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. A woman who fears the Lord is the one being talked about here, so that means she studies diligently. Everything about the people she's in charge of. Everything about all the different things she does. So that she can make decisions that glorify the Lord. Now that's a big deal. I can ask the average guy, maybe not in this church, but usually when they come to my office, I can ask the average guy, what's your wife's or your girlfriend's favorite color? They have no idea. It's really bad when you say, what's the color of their eyes? That's really bad. Details. It's crucial to be able to glorify the Lord. We need to know the people that we care for. We need to know the people that we rule over so well that we know how to best minister to them. And that's who this woman is. She can do that. Because she fears the Lord. She is a theologian that understands knowing God and knowing the people around her is crucial. That's part of fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the place we started from all the way back those many weeks. She realizes that doctrine, what she believes, what she knows of the God that she serves, is foundational for all that she does. This is not just something we play on Sunday morning. This has got to be integrated into every part of our lives. She understands that. She is not worried about tomorrow. I love this. She laughs at the time to come. She's an example of Jesus' words in the New Testament. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. But think about this. Now, think of the context. The verse just before it is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But the verse that comes right after it, and I know there's all these chapter breaks and all this stuff in chapter 7, but there's no chapter breaks in the Greek. The verse that comes right after it is, judge not that you not be judged. For the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Likewise, this woman is to focus on the day that God has given her and to act accordingly. All those things are together. How can they not be anxious? Because God provides. God enables us to make the correct judgments for one another. This is good stuff, how it all fits together. So she's not anxious about tomorrow because obviously she has enough to do, right? She doesn't have time to think about tomorrow. But God gives us enough for the day. And that's what she's focused on. We start thinking about tomorrow. We don't get done what we're supposed to do today. And what's the result? Anxiety. It's just that simple sometimes. If only we would believe it. Because she fears the Lord, she knows He has tomorrow taken care of. So she can focus on today. She even plans and purchases with the future in mind, but only as it intercedes and interconnects with what's going on that day and how God directs her. So there's no reason for her not to laugh at the things to come. Her task is to do God's will, and He will take care of the details. Something else that most of you know, and you can tell from this text, it appears that she's never done. You know, the old adage, a mother's work is never done, seems to fit here really well. I mean, after all, her lamp doesn't go out. She doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Her work is never done. Caring for others is a full-time job. Caring for others is a full-time job. Women like this can be taken advantage of, and they often are. But they're not looking for praise to begin with. Their understanding is that this is how I'm to be faithful to God. This is how I'm to live, no matter what other people do to me. This is how I'm to treat family. This is how I'm to treat those outside these walls. This is how I'm to treat people in general, whether I'm single, whether I'm married, whether I'm widowed. All things that I do are to be done for the glory of God, not for praise. But those around her would be foolish not to praise her, to be sure, to recognize the gift of God. Lastly, King Lemuel's mother sees that main characteristic that we've talked about already, that she desires for her son. Charm, in verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her hands, her works, praise her in the gates. You know, the world used to care about beauty and charm. And I guess on some level the world still does. But when we live in a world that doesn't know what a woman is, those things really don't matter anymore. And so women need to be able to focus on what actually does matter. How do I fear the Lord? How do I glorify the Lord? How do I love those that God has placed in my presence? How do I fulfill the needs of others? This is where we succeed. This is where true beauty comes from. It's interesting. In Hebrew, the word beauty is actually the same exact word that we use for glory. Imagine that. Beauty and glory being the same words. A woman's beauty is her glory. And her beauty is based on her faith, not on the works that she does. We see this as it transfers into the New Testament as well. Our beauty is that glory that comes from one after another till the day of glorification. So we see all of this working together. She wants her son to find this woman. She wants her son to be a man who fears the Lord that would look for this kind of woman. We get to the point in life, I think, especially, I married early. I was very lucky. But some guys go on forever and they think, well, I'll just have to settle because I can't find that woman. My standards are too high, so I got to find whatever's out there. Well, she doesn't want her son to give up. She doesn't want her son to settle. She wants him to find that woman who fears the Lord that is more precious than jewels. And God has great things for such a woman. He says, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You see, affirmation comes in the fulfillment of others. That's the point of that verse. Affirmation comes, the fruit of our work comes in fulfilling others. Make sure she gets that. And if she's a woman who fears the Lord, she will. Good stuff. Praise the Lord. Now, I have a postscript here, and I know some of you are so young you don't know what a PS is. But this is a postscript on this particular proverb. When the Hebrew Bible, what's called the Tanakh, was put together, there was a group of men who wanted the answer to the question, who is this woman, this Proverbs 31 woman? Who is she? Well, they couldn't come up with a name, so what did they do? Well, they said, well, we want to put an example there. In the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, the very next book after this proverb is the book of Ruth. Because they believe that Ruth was the one who emulates best what is spoken of in Proverbs 31. So if you don't have a godly mom, or if you don't have a godly woman that you're looking towards for guidance and strength, and I would really highly recommend that you would, find one. But in the meantime, pick up the book of Ruth. Because as we get caught up in the details of 31, we can see how that's lived out in a real woman's life. A woman who was praised by her husband and praised by the whole city of Bethlehem. That's the Proverbs 31 woman. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for your word that continues to guide, direct, and challenge us. And help us to understand how you design us, what's expected of us. Whether we're male or female, we know that you have clearly defined how we are to act between each other, but more importantly, how we are to live before you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we should reflect the fear of the Lord so that we reflect your wisdom to the world around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.